Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. There's a tentative agreement that could pave the way for an end to the months-long strikes that have shut down Hollywood. The Writers Guild has reached a three-year deal with studios that increases royalties and includes protections against AI. It still needs to be ratified by union members, but Deadline editor Dominic Patton says
some of the late-night talk shows could come back pretty quickly. So the Jimmy Kimmels, the Jimmy Fallons, the Seth Meyers, the Stephen Colberts. We could also see some talk shows. You know, we all heard a lot of things about Drew Barrymore of late, of course, on, off, and now off again, now maybe on again.
The strike by United Auto Workers is entering its 11th day, and President Biden plans to visit picketers in Michigan tomorrow. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
While the president says he's seeking a win-win solution to the strike, he also says he stands in solidarity with the workers who are fighting for a fair share of the value they create. Senator Bernie Sanders and a number of senators and representatives, all Democrats, have also appeared at UAW rallies or picket lines.
Former President Trump says he'll visit strikers Wednesday. The clock is ticking on a possible government shutdown Sunday. Correspondent Wendy Gillette has details.
President Biden is urging Republicans to seal a deal to keep the government running.
Now everyone in America could be forced to pay the price.
If there's a shutdown, federal employees, including Border Patrol agents and airport security screeners, won't be paid. A handful of Republican holdouts said they won't support a short-term deal or continuing resolution to temporarily fund the government.
In Ukraine, they're cleaning up in Odessa after the regional governor says a hotel and storage facilities holding almost 1,000 tons of grain were attacked by Russian missiles and drones today. Scientists are hoping to learn more about the origins of our solar system and life itself after a space capsule carrying NASA's first asteroid samples landed in the Utah desert last night. OSIRIS-REx principal investigator Dante Loretta.
The team at Johnson Space Center are experts at this. They've got a beautiful laboratory and isolation glove boxes, and we're going to start processing that sample, we hope, as early as Tuesday.
The capsule carried about a pound of rocks and soil collected from the asteroid Bennu. It's not exactly tropical, but five pink and gray flamingos have taken up residence along Lake Michigan. They attracted a crowd of about 75 humans north of Milwaukee. The State Society for Ornithology says it's the first flamingo sighting in Wisconsin history. Biologists believe they're part of a pack pushed north by winds from Hurricane Idalia in late August. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Here's to trekking through a kaleidoscope of fall color in Wisconsin. To being like, who's up for whitewater rafting? And turning stories into souvenirs. Here's to rich traditions made new again with good company and seasonal flavors that taste even better when shared with friends. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Plan your fall getaway at travelwisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Oktoberfest in La Crosse, where we went to college, our fine alma mater.
It's true. The tour continues with a stop during Oktoberfest. Mike and Tom broadcasting live from La Crosse Friday, September 29th, starting at 4.
Road trip with the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm Terry.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Hanging out here on Lake Wissota with Kristen Lyerly over in Green Bay and Selena Heller in Eau Claire. Welcome back to Up North News Radio for this Monday, September 25th, Yom Kippur. So for those who observe, we wish you a good final sealing and an easy fast. A lot of things happening on this Monday, September 25th, ladies. It's National Lobster Day. I saw Whiskers crawling around before Selena, so I assume today Whiskers gets lobster as part of
it. He would love lobster. Yeah. Oddly enough, he likes SpaghettiOs the most. I don't know why.
Whiskers is a special cat.
Loves SpaghettiOs. That is an unusual cat.
And baths.
It is National Cooking Day, and we now see from Selena, SpaghettiOs is about the extent of, you know, what she's doing there for the cat. National Food Service Employee Day. It's National Quesadilla Day. It's National Yoga Fit Day. Either somebody's throwing her arms up like she's about to do a forward fold or something. That would be forward fold. You, Kristen.
Sun salute.
There you go. It's World Pharmacist Day. And it's National One-Hit Wonder Day. So over the break, we were looking at one-hit wonders from the past. It just, you know, there's so many of them than ever before. I think one of my first where I looked back and said, oh, wow, how come that band didn't have anything else was the Ides of March, which had Vehicle back in 1970. Kristen, you and I, you have a favorite from the 1970s as well.
Uh-huh. And I forgot it.
Jigsaw was the name of the group with Sky High.
It's in my mind. I just couldn't put the words to it.
Yeah. There's Jesse Coulter's I'm Not Lisa. Now, you take like Thin Lizzy, the boys are back in town. Now, they've had a lot of other, you know, songs. They've played a lot of concerts, but they only had the one hit that actually, you know, made it to the charts.
Oh, I've got one.
What?
Debbie Boone.
Yes. Yep.
You Light Up My Life.
Mm-hmm.
That was
mm-hmm.
a big deal back in the day.
Oh, yeah. On and on. Selena, more from your generation.
Boy bands.
Boy bands. Well, you know, wait, let's think of what were there boy bands that were one hit wonders?
Well, that's what I was trying to think. Like, no, they're all pretty good. All my boy bands. So. Oh,
well, hold on. Now I'm curious. Boy bands, thinking. One hit wonders.
It's so hard because like the Bodines are listed, but like, here in Wisconsin, we know so many Bodine songs. That's not a one-hit wonder for us.
Right. No, not at all. I'm looking at one from BuzzFeed of here are 31 boy bands you forgot existed. No, I never knew they existed. As I'm scrolling through these, there's one called C-Note. There's one called Caught in the Act, one called Code Red. Oh, here, Color Me Bad. I remember that. Mm-hmm. They had one hit in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that ends our celebration of One Hit Wonder Day.
Jordan Knight had a single. Does
yes.
that count?
Oh. Yeah, we'll go with that. Oh, sure. Why not? Hey, coming up a little later on this hour, our friends from Motherhood for Good are going to be here. They're going to bring along Luann Bird, whose Bird on a Wire podcast from Civic Media emphasizes hope and civility and taking action to improve our communities. So we're looking forward to that conversation. Kristen, you've met Luann once or twice.
I haven't, but
you
I'm
haven't?
A fan. Oh my gosh, I love her energy and mm-hmm. her history, her story, the things she's done in her community. She really inspires me.
She is something. She's colorful. She emphasizes the role of, you know, music in bringing people together. I you know, ran for assembly last year. I don't know if she's going to do that again or not. So, yeah, we're going to spend some time with Luann Bird and Kate Duffy and Danielle Lynn coming up later this hour. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell has three things you need to know to start the week as well. And if you missed our last hour, you can catch our show anytime as a podcast. Subscribe over at Apple, Spotify, all the usual places, or go over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us, and you can listen back to past episodes that way. And you can catch up on what Up North News does, a separate entity from Civic Media, by going to upnorthnewswi.com, where we have people like Selena Heller who work on various stories for us, where you... I think you were hinting at last week ahead of the Warren's Cranberry Fest, which was this past weekend, that you met some rather colorful characters, and you not only met them, they continue to want to meet you.
Yes, they've been sending me messages all weekend of their antics and shenanigans and photos and great groups of ladies that they just, I mean, there's men too, but the ratio of men to women at the Warren's Cranberry Festival, quite different. So
you also were working on a story about, you know, it's ginormous pumpkin time, and you were talking about somebody in Black River Falls growing giant pumpkins. I didn't realize till yesterday looking that, you know, you and I both worked at Channel 13 in Eau Claire once upon a time. And Mark Holly was the longtime meteorologist there. Now he's in Wausau at, I want to say, Channel 7. But he now is growing ginormous pumpkins as well.
Oh, yes. And in the mornings we talked about this. This is like his dream. So now he's been doing it for a few years.
It's good to have a dream.
Yep. So, and, you know, he grows giant watermelons. He's got two little boys, and each kind of take ownership of one has a watermelon, one has a pumpkin. I think they both had field pumpkins. And then Mark and the whole family, he says, you know, they all help out, of course. And he has a giant, he always enters a giant pumpkin now for the last few years too. So yeah. Let's see. He had a personal best of 1,472 pounds.
Wow.
See, now that's, I mean, some people will raise, you know, cattle or other things for 4-H for the fair. This works too, you know.
That's a lot of pies.
Raise them right and get some honors for it. Let's take a break. Nope, you tell me on the other side of this. Oh, 2,000. Tell me on the other side of this break. We're going to do weather and sports as well. Come on back. You're up north.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Sexy for my love, too sexy for my love, love's going to leave.
All right, Pat went to the outlet mall. That story coming up in just a little bit here, but first it's time to get an idea of what the forecast is looking like to start the week. Temperatures either side of the 60-degree mark right now, and some little bands of rain in some parts of the state. Some folks got quite the soaking over the weekend. We got 2.25 inches here in the backyard up on Lake Wissota. So to find out, you know, that and more for the rest of the forecast, let's go to Jennifer Wyszewski from Weatherology, who is joining us now to tell us more what to expect as we get the work week started. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning to you. It looks like kind of a wet start to the work week here for everyone, with chances for showers and thunderstorms across the board. Best chances look to be in the afternoon or evening hours today and tonight. Temperature-wise, though, lingering in the mid to low 70s for southern Wisconsin, then mid to upper 60s from Oshkosh and everyone northward of that. Tuesday, still chance for showers and storms for all mid to upper 60s across the board. Midweek Wednesday, a similar forecast for southern Wisconsin, mid to upper 60s with a chance for showers throughout the daytime. Then just a slight chance for showers in the afternoon around Amory and Baldwin, with temperatures pretty similar as well. Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids over to Oshkosh, a dry day with cloudy skies and highs in the mid-60s. Looks like a dry second half of the work week for everyone. Cloudy skies on Thursday with highs in the upper 60s to low 70s, so slightly warmer for some. Then by Friday, sunny for most, maybe a little extra cloud cover around Amory. Otherwise, a warmer day overall, highs in the mid to low 70s. Actually, a little warmer than that here in Richland Center, getting into the upper 70s on Friday afternoon.
All right, Jennifer, appreciate the details very much. Have a great day. And you can hear that Weatherology forecast all throughout the week, all throughout the hours here on every show that we do here across the Civic Media Radio Network. In sports, Jordan Love got his first career start at Lambeau Field and produced a comeback victory. They were down 17 points in the fourth quarter, hadn't found the end zone yet, but they eventually did and beat the New Orleans Saints 18-17. The Packers become just the third team in the past 30 years to win after being shut out 17-0 or worse through three quarters. And as Krista notes, it's a very short turnaround. On Thursday night, the Detroit Lions come to town, 7:15 game on Amazon Prime. The Brewers, their magic number is stuck at 1 after losing again to the Miami Marlins on Sunday, 6-1. The Marlins are now just one game behind the Cubs for the third and final National League wildcard spot. We know the Brewers will play one of the eventual wildcard teams. There's just so many teams in the race yet, we can't say who. So the Brewers will be playing three games against St. Louis at home starting tomorrow, so they could clinch the division tomorrow at home, and then a weekend series against the Cubs, and then the playoff picture will come into focus. Badger football team beat Purdue back on Friday night, but lost running back Ches Malusi to a likely season-ending leg injury. And the top-ranked Badger women's volleyball team is now 11-0 to start the season after sweeping Indiana at home on Sunday. Poor Kristen was off headphones and did not hear the appropriate fashion show music that ushers in. What's
coming up? Oh, boy. Here we go. I can't wait.
What do we got here?
Look at those.
Those are fancy.
Do you want to set up? It was one of our listeners made a comment when I said something about not wanting to dress like a grandpa anymore. Uh-huh. Somebody picks on me for wearing a lot of plaid shirts, apparently.
It's me.
Mm-hmm. I'm the problem.
Does it work?
And one of our listeners suggested a certain look for you. And look at you. You went out and you bought the shoes.
Bought the Chelsea boots that, that apparently go with this, which... Apparently, I look all right in these short boot type things because I was at, we went to a couple of malls over the weekend, Sherry and I did, and she was answering a phone call from somebody, a medical question. And so I was off looking at, you know, shoes and things. I sent her a photo of the boots when I had them on. And I said, I have them in black and brown. And she immediately shows up from wherever she was in the mall. She's like, get them both. So we have both of those. Then do you remember one of her other comments our listener made was skinny jeans?
Uh-huh.
Did remember you? I laughed about that because there's nothing skinny about me. It turns out skinny it describes the style of the jean. You actually can get skinny jeans in some very large numbers, it seems. Uh-huh. So not only didn't get just one of those, but two, including my first ever pair of what you kids call distressed jeans, which Grandpa here would never buy before, because why would you buy pants with rips in them? That's why you buy the pants in the first place. My daughters have been telling me for decades, Dad, that's a style. So I bought my first pair of distressed skinny jeans to go along with it.
Fashion show.
And stopped at one of those untucked shirt type places. Mm-hmm. And this poor woman there was trying to send me to, you know, the typical shirts for a guy my age. And I'm like, nope, don't show me the plaid shirts. So we looked at some new solid colors, properly fitted shirts. And between the properly fitted untucked shirt, the skinny jeans and the boots, I got passing grades for shopping this weekend for the fall fashion show.
I am so excited for you. It is so hard to step out of your usual pattern because you get, especially as you get older, you get used to a certain style of something and it takes a lot of guts and it's hard to know what looks right. So to seek the guidance of people who know and to take your listeners' suggestions, see, we are listening. So text us, call us because we hear you and we may have changed Pat's life here.
You might have. And by the way, like a lot of, pre-elderly gentlemen such as myself, I would not have done this if it weren't for allowing myself a degree of public humiliation. So thanks for taking me along for that ride, figuring, you know, sometimes you got to do things for the show. You got to, you know, you got to commit to the bit. So there you go.
And it's harder to find men's clothes, I hear. Like, there's not a lot of places for good men's clothes.
There's not. And so, again, between the outlet mall in Wisconsin Dells and a mall down in the Madison area, you know, it was just nice to prove that you don't have to get everything online. There's still stores where you can try things on, where you can get some feedback, so that when the feedback from your spouse is something along the lines of, you know, hubba hubba, apparently you're supposed to buy that. So I might be putting words in her mouth. Might be more like, yeah, that'll do. Although my daughters did send back after the photo, I did get back what I would have expected. Who are you? Like, who is this? So
did you send them up photos of you in the whole outfit?
In the whole? Oh, yeah. Yep.
I'm sure they said that in the most loving, like, proud way.
Sure. Let's go with that. So yeah, there was shopping this weekend and catching up with friends and showing off the radio station. Sam was long gone. You know, Sam can only spend so much time there. So I didn't get to see him, but we got to show off the Civic Media empire. Sam, you were probably halfway to Ringle by then, I would imagine.
On Friday, yeah, I don't know, something like that.
I don't know. Yeah, he stopped by. Who cares? So we'll just have to do that another time. Selena, the stories that you're working on for Up North News also include some Northern Lights. It's like, how do you pick like the best photo of Northern Lights? They hardly take a bad picture, you know.
There were so last Monday night, a week ago tonight, the Northern Lights shone across Wisconsin very vividly, and I spent a while looking at photos because there were just so many photos, cool photos, really across the state, and that usually doesn't happen. Usually it's one area. There was supposed to be some last night and it was too cloudy, so photos didn't work out too well last night. But there also was a phenomenon, a very rare, and it's called Steve.
That
happened last Friday or last Monday night. Yes. And it's Steve. Meet Steve. So Steve is like, it's hard to explain, but like a purple and green light, just like a streak of a light across the sky. And so people were posting pictures like, is this Steve? Is this Steve? Or what is this? And so people learned last week about Steve because people didn't know. And Steve showed up in the sky.
I need more information about Steve. Like, why Steve?
Yeah.
Let's see. It says, okay, here's my definition. When a long, thick ribbon of light, usually white, purple, or green, appears to hang in the sky. Steve stands for strong thermal emission velocity enhancement.
Oh.
Nice. And now I'm seeing some pictures of Steve. And yeah, it's almost, it's cool. It's almost like a really skinny, like water spout of northern lights or something
like a ribbon.
Yeah.
like a ribbon through the sky.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really cool. So that happened and it's very rare.
And we have some posts on social media of that. I would imagine you can find Steve scrolling through the Up North News page there. All right. And let's see, UW Stevens Point. It says the library's being dismantled. I only saw one little photo on it. To me, it kind of looked like, I thought it was a dormitory. I thought it was like the Towers, their version of the Towers dorm coming down, but it was the library building.
Rest in peace, Albertson Hall.
You know it well.
Yeah, I went to school there for 2 years.
Well, then, yes. Are you sad to see it go?
A little bit, yeah. It's unfortunate. But they're getting a shiny new one in a couple of years, so that's something to look forward to. So
my niece she graduated now, but she was there when they closed it down. They closed it down really a long time in advance, so she didn't get to go there. She was very, very bummed. She spent a lot of time in the library, and so now they just dismantled it. They didn't knock it down. They didn't implode it. They just took it down quietly and gently, and making its way for a new 4-floor. Building that has a lot of green space and a big student area that's open 24 hours a day. So
I'm sure that was very responsible, but I would just like to say boo for no implosion. No big spectacle. You know,
you're such a dude.
Those are the best. Never get tired of those. And the ones that fail, you know, like where the old Met Center in the Twin Cities. Like half of it didn't come down, or the smokestack, you know, that goes the wrong way. You know, they're terrible stories. They're funny. They're funny, terrible stories, you know, that come from implosions gone wrong. But I'm glad it went well for them. That's fine. It's Rail Safety Week as well.
Yes, it was last week. So that has to do with trains being safe around train tracks and things like that. So Wisconsin State Patrol and Union Pacific Railroad had together an effort and did things at a few places across the state. Just had some officers riding the rails and just made everyone aware of safety around railroads.
All right. And Kristen, you're going to be back Thursday for Hometown Health.
Hometown Health, as well as public service announcement at 11, although Kristen Bry hopefully will have a baby by then.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. But going back to Hometown Health, we're going to talk with an amazing local singer, Aram Ray, about her new album and about how music has fed her soul throughout her career. So really looking forward to talking with Aram, who's got a concert, by the way, next Monday in Appleton.
I like how Hometown Health has really kind of, you know, it casts a wide net, shall we say. The healthy benefits of music. We had a celebrity chef on last weekend. You've had all manner of stuff to remind people that it's not just about, you know, take your vitamins and things like that. There's things you can do in the community.
Yeah, well, I think all of that upstream stuff does affect your health. You know, having good public education and safe spaces to get out and walk and ride your bike and access to good healthy food. All of those things are giant contributors to your health and well-being. And that's what we like to highlight on Hometown Health.
All right. Well, Kristen, Selena, thanks so much for being part of my fashion show. We'll see how that all works when I get back from vacation here. Coming up next, we'll have Luann Bird joining Danielle and Kate from the Motherhood for Good group. All just ahead. You're up north.
Song.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. There's new hope of an end to the strikes that have paralyzed Hollywood. The writers' unions reached a tentative deal with studios. Deadline editor Dominic Patton.
This is an amazing victory for all concerned. Obviously, the writers have been on strike for 5 months now, almost. You know, the studios have held out. They didn't talk for over 100 days.
The agreement still needs to be ratified by the rank and file. The United Auto Workers strike is entering day 11. Jonathan Grant owns a car dealership in Yonkers, New York. He worries about a lengthy walkout.
Could drastically affect business
and it could affect prices in the marketplace.
President Biden set to visit the picket line in Michigan tomorrow. Republicans in the House are divided over plans to avert a government shutdown Sunday. CBS's Nancy Cordes from Capitol Hill.
The speaker was indeed at work all weekend, but if anything, these holdouts appear to be even more dug in, opposing any of the options to fund the government quickly.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Go to church 'cause your mama's sister. Visit grandpa every chance that you can. It won't be wasted time. Always stay humble and kind.
Figure out if there was a appropriate walk-up music for Luann Bird, and I mean Tim McGraw just came screaming into my head right away about being humble and kind. Luann Bird's going to be the guest of our friends from Motherhood for Good. Kate and Danielle are here. Ladies, hope you had a good weekend. Danielle, good morning.
Good morning.
Good, and Kate as well. How was your? Hope you had a good weekend. I think you are on mute though, so you're. I'm going to take your word for it. No, still looking to hear you. So I'm going to let you play with your audio controls there, and we're going to have Danielle bring in Luann. Danielle, tell us about having Luann join us.
Oh, we're so excited to have Luann join us. Luann took part in the gun violence day. It was like a day of action on the Capitol last week. And actually had some success speaking with some representatives. So we're happy to have you tell us about it, Luann.
Luann Bird also has the Bird is the Word podcast put out by Civic Media. Luann ran for assembly last year, and Luann just struck so many people as just a
a different kind of candidate. Not that good people don't run for office, but sometimes it's good people who just really make an impression with, again, their compassion, their kindness, and yet still have their values and, you know, just enough feistiness to make them approachable and worthy of cheerleading for. And Luann has acquired a truckload of cheerleaders along the way and now has that podcast to prove it. Luann, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for your kind words. I'm happy to hear that I am helping to make a difference in the world, because that's what it's all about for me. But I always like to point out that, you know, I'm big on civility, but it does not mean you're passive, which is why I was in Madison lobbying with the gun violence prevention groups, because when, you know, the experience of knocking on all those doors last year taught me so many things. And one of the things is that people support common sense gun reforms. And I didn't even have to bring it up at the doors. You know, when I asked people, what is it that you care for? They would say, we have to get rid of, you know, guns on the streets and get them away from the people that shouldn't have them. And we need to get rid of assault rifles. I heard a lot about that. But then I had a tragic happening in my family. My nephew took his life in May with a gun that he shouldn't have had. And that catapulted me to a new level of, I'm a survivor now. And so going to Madison is very important for me to go down there, tell their story, and then try to lobby for gun laws. Because that's how I believe in people. I believe we can get there. I believe we can find that common ground that would save lives.
And we can do that by using things that we talked about 2 weeks ago with Danielle and Kate, and with a pediatric critical care physician, things like safe storage. You know, just something mm-hmm. like that can help reduce the number of suicide deaths, not to mention, you know, the other things that could go horribly wrong on this. You know, Kate, you were especially vocal a couple of weeks back about the need for that gun violence prevention day of action. Again, we weren't looking for instant results, unfortunately, but it was supposed to be a catalyst for conversations. Kate, do you feel from what you saw or what you heard that it was it was successful in that venture?
I hope it was. I think it was a really good experience for me personally. I've never done anything like that. I go to a lot of campaign events and do a lot of calling my representatives, but I've never done something where we're talking to our lawmakers in person at their offices. And we're always preaching to our audience to kind of like try something a little bit outside of their comfort zone. So I feel it's always good to kind of do that and get more involved and understand more how the process works. Neither of my representatives were able to meet with us directly while we were there, unfortunately, but we did have some good conversations with some staffers, and I heard from several other people that they had some really good conversations with people too. And it's nice just to have those one-on-one conversations and hear kind of, especially if they are Republicans or don't necessarily share the same views as you, it's helpful to hear from them or their staffers, their concerns or where they're coming from or why they may be like pushing back on joining something. With the gun violence prevention initiatives in particular, something we kind of kept hearing was, well, of course, you know, they don't want any gun violence, but they also don't want to do anything that impedes on Second Amendment rights. But like you just said, there are things in here that have nothing to do with Second Amendment rights, like these safe storage incentives, which can be implemented without any issue like that of anybody's privacy or concern and really make a big difference. So we're still kind of getting a debrief from all the conversations and everybody that went. But yeah, I think it was a really positive intent. And I think anytime you can have like face-to-face conversations with people like that, it's probably more productive than tweeting at them or leaving a message or things like that. So,
and Danielle, this is right in the wheelhouse of Motherhood for Good in terms of just, again, having those conversations that you might have thought, well, this might be too political, might be too controversial, and you've almost become a specialist now in helping other working parents understand that there are ways to come into this without feeling like you're hitting people over the head with a hammer.
Definitely. And, you know, kind of as Luann was speaking to, it's your personal experience, you know, like losing a family member to suicide or to gun violence in other ways. That is not a political thing. It's something I've experienced very personally in my life as well. And so just having those conversations with your reps, I remember calling about, I was calling about, you know, gun violence safety and, talking to a very, very conservative reps, and I left, you know, a pretty personal message and got a response right away. And I think even though we didn't agree on the same, you know, on a lot of policies, they understood that this was not just a political, you know, opinion of mine, like it affected me personally. And I think if we can let people see that when you have these conversations with people, like Republican, Democrat, whatever your political ideations are, we're all people and we all care about things. And if we can just get to those one-on-one conversations, like maybe we will make a difference in small or even big ways.
I'll just tag on to that. What you're doing there is building relationships. And when I was in the Capitol, I couldn't wait to talk to you, Kate, to see how to sort of debrief this. I know that I went to my legislator, Bob Donovan, who, by the way, signed on to two of the bills, which is
awesome.
Speaks volumes to getting in there and running for public office and getting 49% of the vote, maybe, and sharing my personal story. We've been in contact. The election was over, so now he's my rep. Mm-hmm. So I'm in contact with them a lot. But that sense of listening and that, and so I talked to my people, which neither one were in either. But I had this feeling as I walked around the Capitol, they gave us packets for other legislators that if we finished ours, could we drop some packets off? I had this feeling of there's so much power in this building, the power to make things better for people, the power to save lives. And if they would just listen to each other and talk to each other and have those conversations, I think there's plenty of hope that we can change things. So then I walk into a, as you would probably expect from me, I walk into a Republican senator's office, and I want to give a shout out to her. Senator Hurd was very busy. She was on the phone, but her aide came up and I think was expecting an argument or something. And I just said, no, tell me what you think. Why, you know, I'm here for the guns. Tell me what you think. And he said, sharing all of his views with me. And I listened and I responded. And then it was like, I'm going to have the senator call you so that you can talk to her. Okay. And I did. And she called me then. And just that hope, that smiling. And they were both veterans. You know, you get to know them. Like I said, build relationships. And I was complimenting them on that and thanking them for their service. And just then we could talk about the guns. The senator called me. And what struck me from that day are the talking points that they use and how to answer to those, because they say things like guns don't kill people. And that is a way to try to avoid the issue. And coming back with, well, I think that you're saying, but you still don't want, do you want to let people who shouldn't have guns, who are going to harm themselves and other people, have guns? You know, if you can move away from talking points, you can find that agreement. And then there were some I didn't have answers for, like when my nephew took his life, he shouldn't have had the gun. There was an incident in 2017 and he didn't get charged with a felony, and maybe he should have. It was a domestic violence thing and maybe he'd be alive. And Senator Hurd was like, well, why? That's the thing. Why don't we go back and make sure the police are doing their job and everything? And they're just good conversations. I just wish they'd hold hearings so we could have those conversations with people.
Definitely.
And learn. Yeah.
And that's one of the things we talked about too. And for people who don't know kind of how the process works, when the bills get introduced, they're routed for co-sponsorship, which means any other senators or Republicans can sign on and basically say like, yes, I'm going to vote for this bill. And then at a certain point, they can put it up for a hearing, which allows for public testimony, debate between the representatives and senators, the lawmakers, and just to be able to have those conversations. And with the way that our legislature is made up, having a near supermajority as Republicans, a lot of times those bills don't get even put up for hearings. We see the same thing over and over again with the childcare and things like that. And that's a really important part of our democratic process, especially at the state level. And I think people need to see that more. And I really wish that would happen more. And maybe if we have more in-person conversations and get past those like initial talking points, like you were talking about, Luann, I think this happens on both sides of the aisle, right? They obviously like meet and they have these certain talking points with certain mm-hmm. policy things that they hit on first. And once you can like get past those a little bit and keep chipping away, that's when you can get to like the real person and where their values are and their understanding of issues. And so it's just like, if we could have those hearings, have a bit more conversation, I think we could go a little bit further, but that seems to just be how it is right now. So I'm not sure how to crack that nut, but we're just going to continue being the squeaky wheels and
You know where else those conversations come into play, though, is not just changing the minds or getting conversations of people who are in office, but of those who we think might be, you know, good leaders of the future, that might be the candidates of the future. And Luann, to that degree, you're helping talk to people who are thinking that maybe they could run for their local school board, maybe make a difference that way. As somebody who has now been a candidate yourself, tell me about taking on that. I'll call it take on that challenge of people who you think would be good, but maybe need to hear why it's worth it to consider running for something like school board.
Well, there's nothing like being at the table. It's so much better. And when I was in Madison, I couldn't help but feel like, okay, this is great talking to people, but I want to be at the table. I want to be there. I want to represent people. So there is nothing as powerful as that, as being the person that makes the decisions. And yes, it's scary. I did serve for 10 years on school boards, and I helped pass referendums and get new schools built. I was able to bring like my issue, which is handicap access, with a paralyzed husband in, and got two districts completely wheelchair accessible. So you can make the difference on what you care about. You bring that to the table, and there's nothing like it. And just run. If you're thinking about it, call me. I'll help you.
Well, especially right now, the school boards are really at a tipping point. And, you know, it's you can't think of something as a parent or a grandparent or just a member of the community more important than being there to help make sure that we're keeping our schools safe for students, and also that we're going to be advocates for teachers and administrators. Like, there's nothing more important. So if you're thinking about it, please run.
Yeah, and we're going to continue having some conversations with Luann, and we'll highlight a couple other organizations, like Run for Something, I know, is just announced a big fund for school board candidates all across the country. So we'll talk about more opportunities there. But
Let me put in a plug for my podcast with Quinn Brunette from the school board, Whitnall School Board. He did a good job of explaining it.
Oh, great.
That's excellent. And to do that, you would just go over to civicmedia.us and you would search for Bird on a Wire. I think if you search for Bird, she's going to come up. She's everywhere. Luann Bird has Bird on a Wire, conversations on hope, civility, and action. And this was barely a taste of what all lies ahead when you let Luann Bird anywhere near your circle. Luann, we need more time like this, so please come on back again soon.
I will. Thank you all. Thank you so much. You guys, I'll see some of you. We're doing a podcast.
Yeah, we'll see you later.
Motherhood for Good.
Oh, that's great. And always good to have the Motherhood for Good ladies here as well. Danielle, Kate, thank you so much. Have a great start to the week.
Thanks.
Bye, Matt. All right. We'll be back with Terry Bell, Civic Media News Director. Three things you should know to start the week coming up next.
The simple click of a seatbelt can mean the difference between life and death. But don't just take it from me.
As a nurse for the last 34 years, I've seen way too many people seriously hurt in crashes because they weren't wearing a seatbelt. Please protect yourself. Spare your family and emergency responders from needless trauma. Buckle up. Every seat, every trip, every time.
A life-saving message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been the
this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your updated forecast. I'm the Shaw. Highs level off around 71. Today, under cloudy skies, with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Southeasterly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 60. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 67. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
One, two. We will have Terry Bell along in just a bit, but first a reminder that this is only the beginning of the broadcast day for Civic Media and the network of stations all across Wisconsin. Depending on where you are, coming up next at 8 o'clock, you'll have Earl Ingram in Waukesha, Green Bay, and Racine. Stu Daniels in the Chippewa Valley, La Crosse, Hayward, and Oshkosh. Chad Holmes in Wausau, Stephanie Miller in Madison, James Jay and the gang in Wisconsin Rapids. And it's all followed by As Goes Wisconsin. I believe Kristen Bry starts her maternity leave now, and I don't have the guest host roster in front of me, so I should get that and keep you all up to date on that, as well as the arrival of little junior As Goes. As Goes Wisconsin then is followed by the noon news, Town Call at 12:15, and then Todd Alba coming up at 1 o'clock. Now you've got Matt Flynn at 3, the Devil's Advocates from 4 to 6, and Maggie Dawn from 6 to 7. And there are some folks, you know, that you see here regularly, like Luke Mathers, like Terry Bell, Todd Alba, Chad Holmes. And then there's some that it's a little tougher to get them in a 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. show. But Maggie and I were talking last week, and sometime after I get back from my vacation, we'll give it a go because she's got a fantastic show on from 6 to 7 in the evenings that it would be nice to have you listening to. But again, even if you're otherwise occupied at 6 p.m., you can catch her show and all of our shows as podcasts at Apple, Spotify, what have you. But start at civicmedia.us, because not only can you then just listen to a past episode that way, you can also, right there are the subscription buttons for Apple and Spotify, Stitcher, Google. They're all there. Even RSS for folks that still use really simple syndication for their podcast listening are all there. And apparently, see, now we've got listeners who are on top of things more than the morning host. On the text line right now notes that Todd Alba is the guest host today. So there we go. We've got that much figured out here. And you can, let's see, I'm just looking for Terry here. Oh, he's heading over to the microphone here right now. And so that just lets me jump right into the things I would normally say at the end here. And that is the reminder that, you know, Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier Newsroom and a separate entity from Civic Media. I hear one Terry Bell. He must be over on Sam's microphone here.
Yes, I am. Hey, Pat. I'm sorry about that.
See, Sam shuts his camera off. He's very camera shy, so I didn't know that you were in the booth over there. But
that's all right.
And it makes – oh, wait. Now Sam wanted to jump in there. And, oh, we've got cameras and microphones everywhere here that we're trying to bring into play. But so I can see – Sam, I can hear Terry, but the important thing, Terry, is that you have three things to know to start the week as we look at the news, but only after noticing the whole reason there was this tap dancing here is it's karma. Because Luke Mathers, I thought he was on his honeymoon last week, but I was a week early. He actually was ready to go, but I already had another guest lined up. So, of course, Terry, I turn to you. And what did you think?
Well, I thought your vacation started today.
Thought it was today rather than next week. So
I was a little unprepared. Sam let me know I was on in a 30-second stare. Like, what?
That's okay. I mean, and that is part of the fun of, you know, working from home and working at a distance is you don't have everybody right there in the room. You can't see who's here, who's not here. And Terry is here and working on things to get the week going. What kinds of things are happening in the newsroom to start this week, Terry?
Certainly. Well, I think a more careful reading of the email that you sent in a very timely fashion would have served me well, but that's on me, so I own that. A few things that you need to know, some stories that we've been working on this morning that you can hear on Civic Media News at 8 o'clock. There was an unfortunate situation in Milwaukee Friday night. There was apparently an active shooter at a high school football game between Milwaukee Lutheran and Pius High Schools. Fortunately, it looks like nobody was hurt, but still something that ought not to be happening in the first place, many people would say. And classes at Lutheran High School are virtual today. And last we knew, they were still looking for the person who was pulling that trigger several times.
That is, it's disturbing. It's unfortunately not entirely surprising. We've seen other terrible sites where you see people running, you know, from football fields around the country at some of these high school and college games. It's something we kind of discussed again in our last segment about gun violence prevention, that we have a ways to go before we stop having the occasional scene like this, and hopefully in this case they find the perpetrator.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So another thing we're looking at 8 o'clock, there's this is a big week for the legislature's plans to come up with state aid to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee by way of funding the stadium district, which maintains the ballpark. And this is the important thing that people need to know. AmFam Field is not the Brewers' property. It is a state property, and the Brewers rent it. So it's that stadium district that runs the stadium is running out of money. It's time to replenish that money. Republicans in the legislature quickly disregarded Governor Evers' proposal to use budget surplus money for this purpose. They've come up with their own plan last week. Pat, I know you talked about it extensively after it was announced, and there will be likely some tweaks this week, and it may even go to committee as early as this week.
Okay. And again, there's going to be plenty of room for debate about, you know, whether something should be done or not. But the people who actually have to get something done are at least talking to one another and putting things on paper. And, you know, it's nothing's going to resolve instantly. But if the opposite of that is a standoff where nobody's talking, that doesn't do anybody any good. So, you know, we have to at least tip our cap that the wheels are turning, shall we say.
One thing I think that's working in favor of a resolution is that everybody wants to get it done. This is not like it's an idea that's unpopular with one side or the other. Everybody wants to keep the Brewers in Wisconsin, so I think that's going to serve as a lot of motivation to find some compromise.
Yes, and we have tomorrow Senator Melissa Agard, the Senate Democratic leader, will be on, so I will ask about that, as well as her bill reintroduced that would legalize marijuana in Wisconsin.
And the third thing, maybe you don't need to know it, but it was awfully interesting. Friday, a family of flamingos showed up in Wisconsin, which is something that absolutely normally would not happen. And it caused quite a commotion in Port Washington. A lot of people came to see them because it's such an unusual sight. In fact, it's the first time flamingos have ever showed up in Wisconsin. And wildlife biologists speculate it's because they got pushed north by Hurricane Idalia.
Yeah. I mean, it was so many people were just going crazy with the photos and the observations. And it is something about, again, Mother Nature. It's about, you know, the changing climate. These storms get more powerful. Not that birds weren't blown off course before, but we should not be surprised if we were to see, you know, more of this in the future. So it's an anomaly, but at least in this case, an attractive anomaly. Terry Bell has this and much more coming up at the top of the hour and on newscasts throughout the day and the week here on Civic Media. Terry, again, sorry about the curveball. Thanks and have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. Good to have you here. Good to have all of you here as well. As noted, Senate Democratic Leader Melissa Agard will join us tomorrow. Have a great Monday. We'll see you tomorrow.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.